Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. It's the second Wednesday of the month. We're in Terre Haute with Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello, welcome to the show. Again, thanks so much for having us today.
Yeah, Joe, no problem. I always appreciate you taking time to, interview us mayors throughout the month. And I've been doing this a long time, and I continue to enjoy doing it. It's a great program. So thank you.
Well, good. And I know it's starting. Is it starting to get busy there in Terre Haute? Are students starting to come back?
Well, yeah, they're starting to come back. I mean, a lot of sports team players have been back for a week or so, but you can start to see a little bit of buzz, a little bit more traffic and just a lot more going on, but they'll all be here very soon.
So, what's at the top of your to-do list this month in August?
The budget is probably the biggest thing. We started back in mid-June, roughly, beginning to put the framework together for the budget. And so kind of where we're at now is we've got met with all the departments, we've gone through their budgets, we've looked at, our increased costs that we believe we're projecting into next year. So I've got a rough, first draft of the budget. So now we're starting the process, which we just started this week, to go back to those departments and really hone in on a few things to make sure that those projects really can happen next year. Are you going to fill these positions? And then any new information we have related to expenses. And then the revenue side, we got to figure out. So we haven't received anything from the state yet. We expect to get something very soon. So I got a general handle on the expenses, I think, but I don't know about our revenues yet. So then when we plug those two together in one big spreadsheet, it'll tell me whether we're out of balance or not in certain areas so that our overall budget is balanced. That's always our goal. We will have a balanced budget for next year. It'll be 9 straight years. We just have to now work through for the next few weeks to hone that in and get it where we need it to be.
Are there any areas in the budget from this past year that maybe saw a lot of overtime or went way over budget that you'll have to adjust to this coming year?
Yeah, good question. A couple there and sometimes they're the regular things like our fire department, it all depends. When we're fully staffed and when we're not, our call volume keeps going up every year, so we have mandatory overtime. And we always are a little bit out of whack at probably every other year or, 2 out of every 3 years, and we're off a little bit this year on that one, so we're going to have to make up for that within their budget primarily, but maybe a little bit of an appropriation later in the year. Fuel costs have been all over the map. They're back up again this week. So we had projected, costs. You base last year was a bad year for gas prices, but this year we had some relief for a few months, but now it's back again. So, we're thinking we're going to have to build in a little bit more for next year because I have no idea what gas prices are going to do. So right now we're running a little over in some departments, mainly street departments, one because of the storm we had. A month, a little over a month ago, we've been running those trucks 6 days a week, all day, and we're just using more fuel than we normally would. So, outside of just those kind of things that are really kind of dependent on what the environment is, and our fire department volume's up, our utilization of fuel's been up just because of a variety of things. That those are the two main areas. Everything else seems to be falling into line pretty well.
It's funny. I was just talking to Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup last week. He said the exact same thing as you did about the fire department. A lot of overtime there. Is this a trend? Have you heard this in
Well,
other
we
cities
always have
too?
overtime because we have mandatory staffing that we have to have. We put, 3 people on an engine, 4 people on a truck, and 2 people on ambulances. And when you have injuries, sickness, vacations, especially in the summer, you have a lot of people off, then that really puts you in a bad spot because you're having more of that mandatory overtime in order to meet that minimum staffing. So, the bigger the department like that, I think it's pretty common. We try to budget something that's what we believe it's going to be, but it never fails that something happens where we get a couple of guys injured maybe for a few months that we didn't plan on, or, sickness or something where you have to have surgery and you're out for a while. You know, we've had guys off on military, you know, called into active duty, and we lose them for a while. So, you know, those things just happen and we have to plan for it. But some years are worse than others.
The Indiana Chamber of Commerce leaders say the state is a lap or two behind its competition when it comes to workforce development, educational attainment. They have a new economic vision plan unveiled yesterday. I bring this up because I know workforce development, educational attainment, it's going to be a big deal in Terre Haute. You have a new casino opening next year. Convention center is open. We did some. We talked about that $1.5 billion investment with the battery parts producer.
Yeah, Intech. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about what? Almost. Is it fair to say more than 1,000 new jobs in Terre Haute coming up?
Oh yeah, it'll be well over 1,000 new jobs, and they're right. But you know, I sit back and I look at what the state's doing. You know, I try to look at what the federal government does and ways of assistance and kind of what's happening. But, you know, the Indiana Chamber's got their strategy, and obviously they put a lot of research into that. I'm just hopeful that we have to address, and we've talked about this many times, we have to have a workforce that's ready to work. So that means we've got to get kids graduated from high school, step one. Some of them are going to go to college, so they have to be able to afford to go to college and be able to get in and get the training they need to prepare for the workplace. If they don't go to college, we've got to have a pathway for those students to get some technical skills to go into the workplace. We have to have housing for all these people. That's a big thorn in our side. And we have to have childcare because we still have a lot of parents. One or two of the parents are staying home because they can't afford childcare. Doesn't make sense for them. They can't make the budget work, or they can't get in because there aren't any open spots. And so those are three of the big ones that I see here. I'm sure that's all part of their plan. I did see a little news story on that, but having a chance to look at the Indiana Chamber's plan, but I'm sure it addresses or talks about those three areas. But we got to figure out how to, one, make our giant pool bigger. We need more people here. So we have to increase our population. We have to increase the numbers of people that are available for the workplace, or we're not going to be able to recruit these businesses. So I understand the chamber's point. You know, we're out there trying to build business, but government's going to have to tag along here to figure out what role government plays, because government isn't going to solve everything. I know I've said that 100 times also, but they can sure help facilitate and fill the gap to get the private sector to do what it needs to do. So it's a tag team effort. It's going to be a collaborative effort. It takes all of us to figure this out. I need to look at the details of their plan. I'm anxious to see that. I just not had the opportunity yet.
Yeah. And of course, you bring up housing. Last couple of shows in Bloomington and Columbus, we've talked a lot about that. Columbus is doing a housing study so that they have some facts and statistics to take to developers to say, here, you know, you can invest here. This is what we need. I know Bloomington's looking at a former hospital site for redevelopment, 6,000 unit housing development. You know, where is Terre Haute right now in housing? You know, what do you need and where?
So the inventory has been completed. So what we need, everything everywhere. I mean, I know that's an easy answer, but we need all levels of housing from, you know, $150,000 single family homes to $500,000 single family homes. And we need, you know, so many of each of those. We need duplexes and triplexes. We need multi-unit apartment complexes. We need lower end subsidized housing. We need high end apartment buildings, apartments available for people. So it's everything across the board. So we're trying to develop our program, our housing program that we've talked about, where the city's putting in $5 million and the county's putting in $5 million to help developers to build these projects out. So we met with some developers recently, last week, out of Indianapolis area. We were looking to do some, you know, bigger projects in Terre Haute. We're working with our local home builders and developers. So we're trying to figure out a way to, you know, obviously there's going to be some of these builders that can only build a few houses at a time, but we need to be able to look at that bigger picture where we can build 50 at a time or 100 at a time. And so it's all hands on deck to figure out how we increase our housing. I would love to build 1,000 new homes in Terre Haute in the next 3 to 4 years. That's kind of my unofficial goal. We'll see if that's real, but we should have enough subsidy to be able to help some of these developers to achieve that goal. So We're not done. The plan's not rolled out, but we hope to have it done by next month.
You mentioned multiplexes, plexes, density. Is it time to look at, you know, the downtown or zoning, rezoning of allowing more of those? I know sometimes that can be controversial too. People don't want multiplex next to their house.
Right. So I think downtown's okay from that perspective. Our ordinance allows that to be developed, and I'm hopeful there'll be more people that want to live downtown. It seems that the demand right now is for single family homes. That seems to be what I hear every day, that we're looking for more of that kind of first. But we will help, you know, developers or builders with any kind of project that would create that housing that we need. And the more dense it is, you know, the better. We're looking at some townhomes in the downtown area, maybe up by Union Hospital, north of ISU's campus, that are built more, you know, up and down, you know, two to three floors on something like that, so you can squeeze more into those parcels. You know, it's like anything that we feel like, and we talk to the Realtors Association all the time. The state came in recently. Lieutenant Governor was here and talking about some of the things they're doing through some of the programs that she has and the state money. So I think there's a lot of interest in a lot of areas. We just have to figure out where we get the biggest bang for our taxpayer dollars to help narrow that building gap. You know, they just, costs are up so much, interest rates are up, that it's hard to, for the market to solve that themselves. And so we've got to incentivize in order to make this happen.
What does the city do to encourage affordable housing?
You know, our housing authority does a great job. We built about 40 homes a couple of years ago. They've got some major projects they've done in the last few years. So we look to do more of that. So single family homes and multi-unit structure. So they're working on their plan now. And of course, they get separate funding, but we can help with that too, to kind of bridge that gap for their match. But we want them to continue to build that housing for people who can, you know, that's what they can afford, and yet still have the market rate and the private sector side of the market to meet the needs of these people that are moving here for these jobs that are paying $70,000 to $75,000 a year. They'll be able to afford a nice home.
And Bloomington and Columbus still having a hard time getting convention centers off the ground, many factors there. What was key in getting the Terre Haute one moving forward? Of course, now it's done. It's been open for more than a year. Looking back, what advice would you give to other cities that are just trying to get this off the ground?
Well, everybody's got to be on the same page. And I think sometimes, even in our past, you know, the commissioners and the mayor weren't on the same page. You had different political parties, whatever. There was lots of reasons. But over the last 10 years or so, we have worked so well together that we're able to accomplish some big things. And that was probably one of the first big community, city, county together with the Convention Tourism Bureau. So we knew we needed one. That part, the feasibility was there and told us we needed to do it. But then the hard part was to get everybody to work together to fund it, you know, and get it built. So it's a model based on, sometimes you just got to shove everything out of the way and figure out how would you do what's best for the community. It's not a city thing. It's not a county thing. It's a community thing. And I think we really jumped a big hurdle on that one from our perspective here locally, which has lined us up to look at the athletic complex, the acquirement of the Indiana Theater. We continue to find projects that we're working together on to advance the community. And so that's how you get things done. It's not always easy. You know, we had our struggles here, but we're really clicking on all cylinders now.
The Danville, Illinois casino opened, I read in a news report not far from there, that read that they were getting about 30% of Indiana residents. You know, I believe there was some talk concern back when Terre Haute was vying for a casino that these two would be too close, too much competition, could hurt each other. Was that ever on your mind, or even more so now?
You know, when it all kind of blossomed up as we were over at the legislature, you know, trying to get this one approved, and then they were talking about doing theirs, you knew that it could be competitive, no question about that. But when you talk to all the folks that put in proposals for our casino, they took that into consideration, and they really believe that more people are likely to come from Indianapolis to Terre Haute than they are to go from Indianapolis to Danville. And with the distance being almost identical, it's just kind of the nature of people to want to, you know, go to the closest, best place. And we really believe this casino will stand out from Danville's casino tremendously, and it'll create that reason to come to Terre Haute and come to our casino. So, you know, they'll probably steal some business from up in the northern counties, you know, north of us. But I really believe that we have a niche here between Danville, French Lick, you know, the Indianapolis area, Anderson, Shelbyville. We'll be drawing people from Illinois over here because of the quality of this casino.
I have to say, on my way out last month, I was able to join you and was able to get some video of the new casino being built. And it's quite, you know, impressive.
It is. That's, you know, they're putting $300 million in that. I don't know what the final price tag was on the Danville casino, but it's, you know, it's not the same thing. We're talking about two different things. And so some people like to go around and go to multiple casinos. So they're going to visit all these places anyway. You just have to have a good experience to come back. You know how that is with anything. And so I think the product that we'll have here in Terre Haute that Churchill Downs is doing with multiple restaurants and a rooftop bar and first class accommodations and much, you know, we have a bigger gaming floor, more tables, more machines than Danville has. I think it'll be a draw. I really do. I think they're going to do well.
Before we go, I did want to get an update. We've been talking every month on the American Rescue Plan money funding allocation. Do you have any updates on that?
You know, the last month the council approved another $5.6 million. And so we're moving towards spending that. I would suspect we'll be back to the council probably in October. I don't think we can get there in September, but bringing some additional appropriations. So, you know, we're starting to move on that pretty good now. I would suspect by the first of the year, we'll have, you know, I don't know, well into the 75% of it allocated out with just a few pieces left that we'll kind of work through next year. So we're moving. You know, it's taken a while to get us to this point. I know there's some people that are frustrated that we wanted to roll it out fast, but you got to do it right. And we've built these programs, and soon to have applications, people be able to apply for funding. So I feel really good about where we're at right now. And a lot will happen between now and the end of the year.
All right. Well, thanks again for your time. I always like to leave you with the last word, though. Any announcements or things we need to know about?
I don't think any particular. It's, you know, the college kids are coming back. You know, that's always an exciting time in August here. And so fall sports will be starting up. That's always, I love football and all that. So I think it's an exciting time of the year when you move into that, you know, mid-August, which it'll be here before we know it. It just turned August, and here the first week is almost gone. It is gone, really. And the time goes by so quickly, but it's exciting to see people back in the community, all these college students. We, you know, typically our population increases somewhere between 15 and 20,000, you know, every fall. And so it's, I love seeing that. So I guess I'll leave it on that note that welcome the college students back to Terre Haute, and hope you all have a great year. And we love having you here.
I think we've got an ISU game at Bloomington this year.
I believe we do. So I may be down there.
Maybe we'll see you here. Yep. All right. Thank you so much. We'll see you next month.
Okay, Joe. Thank you.